Hello, this is Jason. This is the 9th video out of a 10 podcast series on my journey from 2012 to 2020. And this is the video on Molokai and the Big Island of Hawaii. Now, I spent some time there, and I'm excited about letting you know all about it. Now, I'll say up front, the Molokai section is going to be a little more informative and perhaps interesting than the Big Island one. And you'll see why in a second. But without further ado, there's going to be one more, and it's going to be a wrap-up. If I forget anything in this one and anything that I may have omitted in previous ones, I'm going to wrap it all up in 2 days from now, number 10, and that's just going to be kind of a catch-all. And I'll give you some cool tips and thoughts as well about, you know, my journey and living on the street and how you can do it and be safe and healthy and happy and get the most out of it, just like I have done. All right? Oh, and also, this is going to be broadcast live on Periscope. Hello, everybody. And it's going to be uploaded to YouTube later. Hello. And archived. And it's also going to be uploaded to my website, the audio file. So you can listen to it there if you like. And these things will be up very soon after the broadcast, either in a number of minutes or hours. All right. So, Molokai was the first Hawaiian island that I visited that my parents didn't take me to first. You know, as a kid, we vacationed during the summer in Hawaii and usually stayed around 2 weeks or so, primarily in Oahu and Maui, but also in Kauai. And we took short trips to the Big Island and to Lanai. And so, Molokai was totally new territory for me. But, you know, living in Oahu, it was very busy. And tons of people there. So, an escape over to Molokai was awesome. And I visited twice. One time I brought my bicycle, and another time I rented a bicycle when I was there. I don't drive vehicles because I don't want to burn gasoline. I've turned down 2 vehicles already since I've been here, free vehicles, because I ain't doing it. I care about the environment. I'd rather walk, rather ride a bike, and if I have to, I'd rather take a bus. And I've never hitchhiked before. I've never done that. Some people swear by it, but so far I haven't done it. Now, the biggest town in Molokai is called Kona Kakai. And there's around 7,000 people there. And I say a town because it's a town and not a city. The only city in Hawaii is Honolulu. That's the only incorporated city in all of the Hawaiian Islands. So Molokai is a pretty unpopulated island, comparatively. The only one with fewer people is probably Lanai. And Lanai isn't really a place where a lot of people live and stay a whole lot. I think people more frequently visit there to get away from everything completely, and you know, there's not many hotels there, not many stores, or some people will just go and take a day trip there, maybe ride a ferry or take a little prop plane over there and back. So Molokai's airport has no TSA, and that is unique in the Hawaiian Islands and in the U.S. mainland. So that means no one's there searching your stuff, bugging you, scanning you. You know, it's just real chill and laid back. Now, one time I arrived at night and I was going to roll to Kona Kakai under the stars, but I decided to wait until daylight. And when I looked for a place to sit, there's this grassy area right outside the airport. I noticed a big giant centipede. And I said, oh, ho, ho. And I went back inside the airport, and I just hung out on some concrete and crashed out there for a few hours. And then somebody woke me up and said, no, you're not really allowed to sleep here. And I said, no problem. And when day broke, I headed down to Kona Kakai. Now, I rented a bike with gears on one of the trips, and I used one of the few or only companies there that rented them, and it was really just a real nice man in sort of a barn. And he had kind of a bike shop in there and a few bikes. Real nice guy. And so I was stoked that I could use it I think I rented it for about a week, and it served me well. I rode the bike to One Ali'i Beach Park and I crashed there. I recommend visiting there. It's a nice beach, and it's pretty secluded and quiet. I had checked a netbook out of the Oahu Public Library for 3 weeks, so I bought it, and I brought it, rather, and I was able to get online, and it came in handy. I could even charge it there. They have some electrical outlets, or had. You know, I like to talk about this in the past tense, because I'm not 100% sure that everything I saw and did and experienced is still there. But the netbook had a T-Mobile Wi-Fi hotspot feature that let me get online lots of places. Not everywhere. Some places it couldn't sync up, but a lot of places it did. And that is something that they don't do anymore, unfortunately. The Bill Gates Foundation made a donation to the Hawaii Public Library system, and they bought a whole bunch of netbooks. So when I moved to Hawaii in 2014, they let people check them out. But after about a year or two, they had no more. They were all broken or lost or stolen, and so they stopped it. And then they didn't get any more money from the Gates Foundation, sadly. I asked the Gates Foundation and Bill Gates if they could make another donation, but they ignored me. Now, when I was at One Ali'i Beach Park, I slept on some concrete there, and as I was sleeping, a few Hawaiians came in the middle of the night, and I didn't look at them, but they sounded like they were drunk, and one of them, I remember, cried out, and he's all, "I'm a Hawaiian!" And he was like literally crying out loud, but crying too. It like sounded like he was bawling his eyes out. I don't know what his deal was exactly, but he seemed like he was sad and upset. So they kept me up for a while, but they didn't bother me. And it only happened once. The park had a decent shower, and it was clean. It was in the men's bathroom area, but the sun was overhead. One of those kinds of showers. And so I took showers in the middle of the afternoon so I could dry quickly. The park said that they charged a few dollars and I needed to pay somewhere in town. I figured I would pay later, or if somebody came by and asked, then I would pay them then, but nobody ever came and nobody ever asked. In fact, I was the only person sleeping there that I saw, but there was another vehicle or two that came during the day and was parked a little ways up, doing something or other, not sure what. Some kids with machetes came by and climbed the palm trees and trimmed them. It was pretty amazing. I even took a video of it and put it on YouTube. They didn't use power tools and they didn't use ladders. They just straight scaled these palm trees and trimmed them, pruned them with machetes. There were a bunch of tables under a covering, so I slept there a night or two. It was protected from the wind and pretty much out of view, especially from the street. There was a sink there that I used to wash my hands and fill my drinking bottle with water. It was a good place to think and write and relax, you know, very chill. But there was actually a little party that came one day, and they made a lot of noise, and they felt like they owned the place. I think they had a birthday party, and they might have reserved it, and there's probably maybe a dozen people, adults and kids and things. So it's a community place, and a lot of people share it, and you got to be willing to share it. There was an ice cream store in town with an electrical outlet and a bench, so sometimes I would sit there and get online. It worked well, except the sun was in my eyes in the afternoon, and there were lots of mosquitoes. Some of those things bit me, too. It was brutal. I had some sage, and I tried to get them away from me by burning sage and then, you know, all over the place. It worked a little bit, but it'd be best just to cover up, you know, wear long sleeves and long pants, but then it's hot and humid, too, so you're sweating your butt off when you do that. And they could still always, you know, sting you in the neck or in the hand or the face or something. Those things are brutal. I hate mosquitoes. I visited the library in Kona Kakai, and it was fine. I got online, used a restroom, and hung out a couple of times. And nearby, there was a health food store called Outpost Natural Foods, and it was good. It looked sort of like a barn from the outside, and it was a small barn. And they had dry and refrigerated organic food that I liked. And some of it was obviously bought from Costco off the island, but it was fine. It was marked up a tad, but, you know, you had to expect that because you're in Molokai. And there's no Costco there, so they had to, I think they got it from the Maui one or the Oahu one. There was one other grocery store in town called Friendly Market, and I think people called it Friendly's, and it was okay. One time when I visited, actually, I think I flew Mokulele both times that I visited there. They have a little propeller plane, and it kind of shook in the wind as it flew. And bringing a bike used to be pretty affordable, but then they raised the prices, and it became a little more expensive. You know, when I visited on my first trip, there was a coffee shop in Kona Kakai that I enjoyed. And I chatted with the owner. He was a real nice Hawaiian kid, local kid. And he looked around 30 years old, and he ran it with his wife, and they had a kid or two. So their cafe was one of the few places with Wi-Fi. So I liked sitting there drinking coffee for just a couple hours, you know, and then getting on with my day and what have you. But when I came back the second time, they were gone, and they were out of business. And I was kind of bummed, you know, not just for me, but for them, thinking that they didn't get enough business to stay in business. I visited Kapuhi Beach and camped there one night. There's a wood structure by the beach that was suitable. It was kind of strange, but it was secluded and exhilarating. You actually feel like you're isolated and in the middle of nowhere when you look up at countless stars at the beach there in Molokai. However, a few people eventually showed up and enjoyed the beach. But there wasn't much of a beach, and the water looked kind of rough, so I didn't want to jump in and catch waves or anything. One day I wanted to ride to a coffee shop up the hill from Kona Kakai called Coffees of Hawaii. And I figured a 6-mile ride from town wouldn't be too bad, but it was uphill, and it would have been pretty tough. So before I left, there was a guy filling his tires up with air at the gas station, and I just said to him, "Good man. You're going to save gasoline and help the environment." And he agreed. He's all, "Yeah, you're right." He's kind of surprised. And I flashed him a hang loose sign. And I started making my way up the hill. Then a few minutes later, he pulled over ahead of me. And at first I was like, "Oh God, who's this and what do they want?" You know. But then I realized, oh, that's the guy I just saw back at the gas station. And he asked me if I wanted a ride. And I said, "Okay." So we got along well. He even had some weed and a herbal vaporizer pen, and so he hit some and offered me some, so we got high together, and we cruised up to the cafe, and I bought him some coffee. His name was Jason, just like my name. I'm Jason. And he offered to have me over at his house and eat some deer meat, and that somebody gave him, a hunter. And he was a contractor working in Molokai for the state government. And I was an organic vegetarian, like I am now. And I hadn't eaten meat for years. But he told me that they have a deer problem in Molokai, and that they're an intrusive species. And so the government actually wants people to kill them and eat them so they don't destroy the island. And so, and I saw a sign that said something about the deers as well, or the deer. So I realized it was legal and it would help, so I said, "All right," and I made an exception and I ate it, and it was good. It wasn't bad. I stayed a couple of nights with him in his rented home in Mauna Loa. Oh, and by the way, that's the only meat I've had since, I think, 2012 or 2013, right around there. So 7 years, and all I've had is a little deer meat in Molokai. And I haven't missed it. I haven't needed it. I thought I needed it growing up, but the only thing you need is all the amino acid proteins that your body can't make. You can get those in other foods. Meat is a choice, and it's not a good choice. There's no fiber in meat. There's a lot of saturated fat in meat. It leaves a big carbon footprint. I can go on and on, but I won't. It's not very humane either, the way they treat the animals. And killing the animals isn't very humane. So you should stop eating meat. That's all I'm going to say. So, in Mauna Loa, we visited the Mauna Loa General Store, and they sold a couple of organic things. It was a quaint store, and the people were nice. Now, Jason lived in the Big Island, off the grid a few miles from Pahoa. After I returned to Oahu, he emailed me and asked me if I wanted to visit him and house it. His friend near him was leaving and had a house in Nanavale Estates. So I said, okay. In fact, I visited him for 2 months and lived there. Then I moved to Maui for 3 months before returning to Oahu. So that leads me to my experiences living in the Big Island of Hawaii. Now, like I said, this is going to be a lot more brief because I've only visited the Big Island twice. I first visited it when I was 16 years old with my parents, and we stayed in Kona at this great big hotel. It had like a train to get from one side to the other, and my parents got a helicopter, and we flew over to the volcano and checked it out and everything. It was pretty amazing. I enjoyed it. So this visit to the Big Island was my second visit there. And I fasted for 40 days while I was there. And you can read about it on my website on jasongastrich.com. There's a link at the top. This is fast. You can read about my daily journal and what I did. And I didn't eat anything. You can see my pictures and how I shrunk. I had done a couple of 40-day fasts before in a little different way. And I wanted to do a more complete one this time, and I knew that I was going to be isolated and secluded, and it was a good time to do it, and so I said, sure, why not? I was there for 2 months, and it gave me the time to eat a few things and stock up on a few things the first few days I was there, and fasted right until almost the last day that I left, if my recollection is correct. So, it was great. I'm fasting right now, by the way. Today is day one, and I guess it's day two if it's after midnight, or what time is it? No, it's almost day two, because it's 11:30 here, approximately. So, I'm fasting for 4 weeks. This is a 28-day fast, at least. If I decide I want to fast more, I'm going to fast more. So, it's a great feeling, very empowering, very good. You might notice the difference in my voice and my countenance. Fasting is one of the hidden gems of health and spirituality and life that a lot of people never enjoy. But there's a lot of problems that have to do with excess and obesity, and fasting could really help a lot of people. And it always helps me. I never regret doing it. And it's really just a mental thing. One of my podcasts after this 10 podcast series is going to be on fasting, and I'll talk all about it so you can see it on my website and on Periscope and on YouTube eventually. Now, I live 3 miles from Pahoa, and besides being indoors for the quarantine, this is my only time that I was indoors while I was living on the street from 2012 to 2020. And they were not connected to the power grid, and they had no address, and so it was very different, and very, like I said, secluded and isolated. They had a shower in the backyard, where I got bitten by mosquitoes, unfortunately, and they had an outhouse in the backyard, too, which made it a little easier to fast, because I didn't want to go out there and get bitten by mosquitoes and have to poop in a old wood outhouse. And so, inside they had the internet, and it went down sometimes when it rained real hard. It was satellite. And two giant hurricanes were coming just like right at me, pretty much, because I was pretty close to Kilauea. And it actually looked like, I was like, oh my God, are these going to, what if they extinguished Kilauea? Wouldn't that be wild? Or partially extinguished it or something. And so they both peeled off, though. And one of them got a lot of rain, and one of them got a whole lot of rain in Pahoa, where I was, gave us a lot of rain. One of them just peeled off north, and one peeled off south. I'm sure you could read about them if you want. It was towards the end of 2016. Now, I like the Island Naturals Organic Food Store. I went there and got stuff. They had some turmeric that I liked. It was local and dried. And I had never bought turmeric like a turmeric root before, you know? I used to only buy, and I still buy, organic turmeric that is powdered. So this stuff I had to actually grind up myself in my grinder, which I had. I had a grinder that my cousin gave me back in California before I left. So that worked out real well. I seem to remember getting some organic apple cider vinegar from them as well and having some of that in the fast. But you can read all about it, like I said, on my website. There's two main places in Hawaii that people consider going to when they're there. The Hilo side and the Kona side. The Kona side is on the leeward side, which is west. And the Hilo side is on the windward side, which is east. And we went to Kona one time, Jason and I, to go to Costco. There's no Costco in Hilo. And that was the really only time we went to Kona. And so I was in Hilo like the whole time. Or I mean in the Hilo side the whole time. And Pahoa was nice, real old town looking, you know, real simple. Looked almost like a Western town. We went to a bar there once, and I don't know if I drank anything because I like organic stuff only. But I remember hanging out with him, and it was okay. And, Jason actually grew a lot of weed. And he showed me his grow system inside, and it was amazing. I mean, he was a good grower. He had the high-pressure sodium lights and the enclosures and the fans. And, he was battling the moisture and bugs and the whole nine yards. He produced some good weed. It was a pretty cool getup. I was stoked for him. Because I've written a grow book called Growing Great Cannabis. I directed a medical marijuana collective in California. We also visited Kilauea, and it was pretty amazing. We visited right before sunset, and so it gave it a real cool look. And after we left, or after I left, not too long, you know, there was those new fissures that opened up. I mean, it might have been a couple of years after, but the same general area where I was staying was where all these new fissures opened up. It was pretty awesome to see that on the news and know that, you know, I used to live right around there. And Jason actually moved a few miles away to the town of Kilauea. So he's right there in the thick of it. One more thing about the Big Island. I recall I rode a bike of Jason's to the food store 3 miles away. And it rained so much there that, you know, I would look up at the sky and it looked like I could make it, you know, without getting rained on. And I would be wrong. You know, I couldn't even make it to the store without getting rained on. And it's okay. I mean, you just get used to it in Hawaii. But, you know, I realize how fast the rain comes on you there on the windward side of the island because it comes right off the ocean. And it's hard to see it, you know, if there's something in the way and it's boom, it's on you. So, you know, you just got a choice when that happens. Do you want to wait it out? Usually it passes 10, 15 minutes or whatever. Sometimes less, sometimes more, or do you just want to tough it out and get rained on? You know, it's not real super polluted rain, as if, like, say, Los Angeles on, like, a smoggy day or something like that. But yeah, that was an exciting part. And where we're staying, too, there weren't any lights and there was no paint on the ground. So I remember riding back in the dark one time, and it was just getting real dark. And it was a little difficult to see and to figure out where I was. I mean, it would be pitch black, you know, in the middle of the night, and you could, like, hardly see your hand in front of your face. That's what we're talking out there, which is great if you want to get away, you know. Great if you need some solace, want to get off the grid, and just be left alone sort of thing. But there was, like, a forest in the backyard of the house I was house-sitting, and it was pretty amazing. I had never lived, like, that close to a forest or anything. So this concludes video number 9 on Molokai and the Big Island. And I'm excited about continuing the series and finishing it up in 2 days from now. And it's going to be great. On May 5th, I'll do the wrap-up and say anything I might have forgotten. and just exhort you some more, encourage you some more, give you more great tips and tricks, and share about my experiences. Thank you for listening. I wish you the best and warm aloha. Take care of yourself.